A very good morning to you. Welcome to the Eye, the Eagle of FM. So a very good morning, my dear listeners, and good morning, Namibia. How is your morning this morning? So it is about 8 o'clock, and today is actually the last day of the month of September. So we're saying goodbye to September. So, hey, the year is running too fast. I'm not too sure we're ready for the end of the year. So good morning and welcome to your favorite talk radio station. And thanks for choosing us to be in your company at this morning. Our time is about 2 minutes past the past 8. And today, the last day of the month, the 30th of September 2025. So my name is Mike Choveri, and this is Unpacking the Day, your daily dose of what's really going on in business, economics, and politics. Every weekday, we cut through the noise to make sense of the big stories, the trends, and the numbers making headlines. And we keep it clear, a little witty, and always curious, asking the questions that matter and give you a fresh take on what people are saying out there. So this, the view shared in our segment don't necessarily reflect those of Eagle FM. We are here to unpack what others are saying and spark meaningful conversation so you can be part of the bigger conversation. So this is your space to unpack the headlines and get to the heart of the stories. So, and if you're just joining us, a very good morning to you this Tuesday morning. Who are you choosing this morning? So, well, thank you that you have chosen Eagle FM at this point in time, and you have just tuned in Unpacking the Day. So, as usual, on this day, the 30th of September, so what happened on this day in Africa? On the 30th of September in the history of South Africa. On the 30th of September 1966, the landlocked territory of Botswana, Botswana land, took a bold step into history. You know, the country newly independent from Britain was renamed Botswana. So, Seretse Khama, a statesman who had endured exile and prejudice for marrying across racial lines, became its first president. At independence, Botswana was one of the poorest countries in the world, with only a handful of kilometers of paved road and a largely subsistence economy. Yet, from that moment, the foundation were laid for one of the African most remarkable democratic and economic success stories. Today, Botswana is celebrated for political stability and prudent management of diamond wealth. Today is Botswana's independent. So, Botswana get independent in the 30th of September 1966. So meanwhile, in Nigeria, 30th of September 1960 marked the eve of independence as well. It was the last night under British colonial rule before the green and white flag was raised in the following days. So across Lagos and other cities, people celebrated in the street, anticipated a new era of self-rule and higher hopes of Africa's most populous nation. So the midnight ceremonies symbolized both the end of colonial domination and the beginning of Nigeria's complex journey of nationhood. So, and years later, on the 30th of September 1993, another chapter of transition was unfolding in South Africa. So the country was deep in negotiations to dismantle apartheid. So on this day, an interim constitution was adopted that paved the way for democratic elections. So while the official vote would come in 1994, this moment represented a major breakthrough, a legal framework that recognized equality and prepared South Africa for a leadership of Nelson Mandela. On the 30th of September 2005 in Comoros, voters approved a constitutional referendum that sought to resolve the recurring political crisis and coups in the island nation. The referendum strengthened the autonomy of the individual islands while attempting to maintain unity within the fragile referendum federation. So, and today it is the International Translation Day, which is also observed globally, and including in Africa on this very day. So today is an International Translation Day. So, and this is it's observed globally, but well, we do that also. It's also included in Africa as well. So very good morning to you. Welcome. Welcome to Unpacking the Day. And what is our thought for the day this morning? So a broken trust is like a shattered pot. It can be mended, but the cracks will always show. So a broken trust is like a shattered pot. It can be mended, but the cracks will always show. Now, the proverb means that once trust is broken, even if efforts are made to repair the relationship, the damage leaves a lasting mark. Now, like a shattered pot, that can be glued back together, but still shows visible cracks. So broken trust can be restored to some extent, but the sense of betrayal or hurt remain evident. Now, the proverb emphasizes the fragile nature of trust and how difficult it is to fully erase the impact of betrayal or dishonesty in a relationship. So our thought of the day, a broken trust is like a shattered pot and it can be mended, but the cracks will always show. So hopefully that will help you in the decision that you're making and the choices that you are making today. That the choices you make shouldn't create, you know, damages that leaves lasting lasting marks. All right. So good morning and welcome. Welcome to Unpacking the Day. So when we come back, we look at what we have in store for you. Stay tuned.
Get social with us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and LinkedIn. Our handle is Eagle FM Namibia.
Eagle FM, the eye.
Omutiha utekirwa kaguna imatina omjo chikawa shafafana na longeshifa ya ishiwite moshiwana iye moyawo ota ingongo tithamweni anageshifa ya Namibia omjo ombwa nawa olonjika seitha nina omayaguro nilandito mwa iyoe yongeshifa yoyo kupitiramo Eagle FM Media House ngoe tuende tuimeneha uu kakombanga nina kara omkwashipareki uimopo yomo programa letu moambo dengira selma kodara heta tuimu datu ndatu heari hamano tano owambiyaji Eagle FM the eye.
Yes, that's very true. And if you want to advertise your business, or you have an event, or you have a business meeting, or a function, or a workshop, or a conference, you know, and you want to do that via live streaming or broadcasting, well, contact our office and our telephone number 083-288-400. So 083 0800-288-400. All right, so good morning and welcome. Our time is about 11 minutes past the hour of 8. So I will be with you until at 10 o'clock when we will cross over back to Windhoek. Right now, we are live, direct from Ondangwa Studio. So good morning to you if you're just joining us, and welcome. So now, so where do we start this morning? All right. Now, today I want us to talk about, there is a report. Today I want us to talk about artificial intelligence in Africa. Okay. Now, before you tune out thinking, well, this is some higher tech fantasy far removed from your daily life, let me paint a picture for you. Okay. So before you just decide, this could be some higher tech fantasy, and it has nothing to do with my daily life. So let me paint a picture. Now, right now, as we speak, a farmer in Kenya is getting a WhatsApp message telling him exactly when to water his crops. A mother in Tanzania is getting an SMS alert about her pregnancy. A student in Ghana, so there's so many things that are happening in Gaza. So a student in Ghana is learning Twi language through an AI powered app. So, and this is not just science fiction, this is Africa 2025. So, now, this comes from the State of AI in Africa Report 2025, released by the Center of Intellectual Property and Information Technology Law, or CIPIT, at Strathmore University in Kenya. Now, it's an update on their 2023 report, tracking on how AI is evolving across Africa. So covering governance, innovation, real world uses in sectors like now agriculture, and health, and calls for responsible policies as well to guide the implementation. Now, think of it as this report as a roadmap showing where Africa stands in this AI revolution. And my dear listeners, the picture is both exciting and troubling, and we're going to look at that. So when we come back.
When you choose UNAM,
you get credible accreditations.
You get internationally recognized qualifications.
You get a university with a growing reputation.
When you choose UNAM,
you get a head start on local jobs.
You become connected in a growing Namibia.
You stay in the best country in the world.
Because you already know you love it here.
Open your mind to UNAM.
And UNAM will open the world to you.
UNAM is your university, Namibia.
Because the U in UNAM is you.
Well, the U in UNAM is you. It's always get that. That's part I always get to me. It's really, really good. And you staying in the best country. It's true. You know, Namibia is one of the best country. Not only in Africa, but in the world. So we should be really proud of our country. Of course, there are also things that are happening, but it's the best country. You have no other. It's like your home. You have no other home. You can't ilongo yanu kairiru anu. You know, itoriri ilongo yantu. So this is home. Let's make it. You know, let's make it the best place to live in for both for all of us, for all of us. So welcome back. Welcome back. So we are talking about AI in Africa. It's a report that actually come out, a report that a State of AI in Africa report 2025. And this was actually released by the Center of Intellectual Property and Information Technology Law at the Strathmore University in Kenya. So we're talking about the AI in Africa. We are not just talking about robots now. We're not just talking about robot or some distant technology. Okay? So we are talking about smart system, all right? We're talking about smart system that can predict crop failure, for example, that can diagnose disease from a simple photo. Just from a simple photo, you know, it can be able to diagnose. So, or translate between the African languages that have never had that capacity before. So we're talking about smart system, all right? So the number tell an incredible story, okay? So when you look at the report, since 2023, this continent has gone from being, you know, from being a bystander in the AI revolution to becoming actually an active player. So especially in some countries. So we're talking about over 400 AI startups in Nigeria alone. Data centers popping up from Johannesburg to Nairobi. So, and something remarkable, African languages finally getting their due in the digital, in the digital world. So, but here's where it gets more interesting, and this is what we need to unpack together this morning. So the report shows us that Africa is not just copying what Silicon Valley or Beijing is doing. We are creating our own path, so which is very interesting. So we are building AI that speak Swahili, that understand the challenge of smallholder farmer in rural Botswana, for example, that knows the difference between wet and dry season in the Sahara region. So we are actually creating our own path that understand our situation. So now Kenya just launched a $1 billion AI data center project with Microsoft. So South Africa is training 1 million people in AI skills. So Rwanda is using AI to predict earthquakes and coordinate disaster response. So as you can see, there are countries, you know, in Africa that are really taking by the horn, you know, the AI revolution and make use of it and make use of it in real world experience. So the report also shows us we are not all moving at the same speed. We are all not moving at the same speed. In some of those examples that I've given, where is Namibia, for example? So there is this great divide. The progress and the problems. The progress and problems. Now, here's what the researchers won't tell you directly, but the data screams it out loud and clear. Okay? Now, Africa AI story is really two stories. They are moving in a completely different direction. These two stories are completely moving in completely different directions. Story one, the story number one. Now, you have the Eastern and Southern African racing ahead. Kenya, with its tech centers and government backing. South Africa, with its universities and corporate partnership, for example. And Nigeria, with its massive startup ecosystem. So, these countries are building the infrastructures, training the talent, creating the policies. And they are the ones getting the headlines and the investment money as well. So, and story two, Central Africa, for example, frankly part of our own region as well, so including Namibia for that matter, still struggling with the basic. Now, when I say, and when I say basics, I mean, I'm not even talking about AI. I mean electricity that works in some part of these regions. Electricity that works. Internet that doesn't cut out, you know, every hour. So, and road that can actually get technology to rural areas. So you can't run the AI on hopes and dreams. You know, you cannot run AI on hopes and dreams. So you need power. You need connectivity. You need people who understand the technology. So now the report dresses this up in academic language, but let me translate it where, let me just translate it where we are. Where is this in the report? So we are creating a digital colonialism right here on our continent. Yeah? So whenever people hear the word colonialism, kind of the heart goes a little bit, boom, boom, boom. What is he talking about? What is he talking about? So the countries that get AI, I think will leap ahead. So the country that don't, so we'll be left further and further behind. And guess what? This is not just about technology. This is about economic power. So it's about economic power. It's about political influence. It's about the future of also the future of our children or the future of our economy. And here is the number. Here's the number that should worry every African, okay? Only 37% of Africans were online in 2023. 37%. Now, think about that. So, how are we supposed to participate in an AI-driven world when two-thirds of our people can't even access the internet reliably? How many of you watch... You know, without any baffling, you know, watch something on your either on your phone or computer without actually baffling, you know. So when we're talking about internet reliability, you know, of course anybody can say we have internet, but how reliable is it actually? People like we are sitting in Ondangwa, we're sitting in Oshakati, or even in some part of Windhoek, you still have actually unreliable, you know, access, unreliable access of internet. Well, here it's also where the story actually gets more complex. Now, why we need to think critically about what's really happening. So, now, we get to the heart of the matter. This is the data game. All right? So who really benefits? The data question. And this is where I want you to pay close attention because this affects every single one of us. Now, AI systems are only as good as the data they are trained on. They are only as good as the data they are trained on. So, and here is the uncomfortable truth the report actually reveals. And this is uncomfortable truth. Most of the AI system being used across Africa are still trained on the Western data. On the Western data by the Western companies for the Western problems. So, these data are trained on European or West or American or whatever, you know, West by the Western companies, and it's designed for their own problems, not for the problems of Africa. And well, they speak English first, maybe French second, And there aren't many of that have actually African languages at all. Huh? So, but also, this is not doom and gloom. There is also a revolution brewing. There's also a revolution that is growing. A project like Masakane. There's a project like Masakane, a Pan-African initiative, are building data sets for languages like Swahili, Yoruba, Swahili from Kenya and around other Uganda or those countries that speak Swahili, Yoruba, Hausa, and yes, maybe even some of our own indigenous languages here in Namibia. I'm not too sure, but you know. So there's this Pan-African initiative. So, and these are not just academic exercises. This is about digital sovereignty. So when you talk about, this is about digital sovereignty. This is about ensuring that when AI systems are making decisions about our lives, they understand our context, our cultures, our realities, and that's a problem. When you have actually Western data, you know, so they do not understand our context. They do not understand our cultures. They do not understand our realities. And the report talks about something called the NUD license, okay? The NUD license, basically a legal framework that ensures when African community contribute their data, languages and knowledge to AI system, they maintain control over how it is used. So, which is actually a good thing. So, and this sounds technical, but it's actually about power. When you think about it, it's about power. So what it means that who controls the data, whoever controls the data, controls the AI. So in your country, it doesn't matter where it may be located, you know. So whoever controls the data controls the AI, and who controls the AI controls the future. Controls the future. But the irony is that while African researchers and communities are working hard to build these indigenous data sets, the big infrastructure investment, they are still coming from where? They're still coming from outside. They're still actually coming from outside. We still don't pay for our own initiatives. We still don't invest in our own initiatives. So whoever pays you controls you. Eh? So these indigenous data sets are still actually being paid or being invested by money from outside. Now, there's Microsoft and G42's $1 billion investment in Kenya, which actually sounds impressive when you think about it in terms of the amount of money that are put into this. Microsoft, they invest in Kenya, but who the question is, who really benefits? So do you think Microsoft is actually putting all this $1 billion in Kenya for the Kenyan to benefit? Maybe they do, okay, in some way, in some form, in some way or another, but who is really benefiting? So are we building our own AI capacity, or are we just providing cheaper labor or resources for global tech giants like, you know, Microsoft and G42? Well, some people might start, conspiracy thinking. No, this is not conspiracy thinking. This is about asking the right question before we are locked into a system we can't control. Eh? So maybe let's also get practical. What does AI actually mean for ordinary African right now as we are here? Okay? That's going to give us a good picture. So there are success stories. The success stories are genuinely impressive. in Kenya, farmers are using AI-powered weather station that give hyperlocal forecast. Now, not just it might rain in Nairobi, but it will rain on your specific farm in 2 hours. That kind of predictions. It's not that, okay, it might, you know, like the prediction that, you know, that are given now to say probably 30% or something. No, no. This is a prediction that is that it will rain on your specific farm in 2 hours or in 1 hour. Eh? So that's how impressive this is. All right? And that's how useful this can be, you know. So in Ghana, the AI system are diagnosing breast cancer from the mammograms, you know, the mammograms in rural hospitals that don't have specialist doctors. So those rural where they don't have the specialist, they have the AI system that actually diagnosing breast cancers. Eh? So these are some of the real, you know, real world impact of AI. And in Nigeria, AI is helping detect crop diseases just through a simple phone photos. So these are real solution to real problems. These are real solution to real problems. And this is not about, so people said this is not about replacing humans. In some way, it is not. It's about really amplifying human capacity when you think about it, especially in places where resources are scarce. Say, for example, in Ghana, where you have the AI system that are diagnosing breast cancers from the mammogram, in rural hospitals where you probably don't have a specialist there. So, as I said, that actually amplifying human capacity rather than actually replacing humans. But let's also talk about what the report it doesn't emphasize enough. So the failures, the limitations, the unintended consequences. So the AI, as we said earlier, trained on Western data. Okay? Much of this AI at this point in time are trained on Western data. So, and that and would perform poorly on, well, on a darker skin tone. Well, I mean in Africa, okay? Yeah, so now, say for example, just a voice recognition system struggle with African accent. You know, you can just imagine, you know, like, what is that? you know, and I'm thinking some words in my mind that with Nigerian accents and probably, you know, it's repeating. Are you saying this? You know. So just simply voice recognition system. So would it actually struggle because, as I said, it's trained on Western data. Yeah? So it could be also, think about what are other things? Credit score system. Credit scores can perpetuate existing inequalities as well. So we're making it harder now for certain community. Let's say, for example, you want to access a loan or services in the bank or something like that. So that could be also because, as I said, it trained on Western data or designed in that with that in mind. Eh? So it might not be actually addresses the rural communities in accessing, for example, things like services like loans and things like that. So And as they said, the elephant in the room, jobs, you know. The report talks optimistically the report, when you look at the report, and if you go and get the report and read it, and I really suggest, I just looked at few things that I found very interesting and bringing them to you. But I really suggest that you go and read the report. It's about 50-something pages. You know, make it take some time. Read it for a week. You read 2 pages, whatever the case may be, for a week. Read it. It's very, very, very interesting. It gives you really a good picture where we are and how far we have come in this revolution, the AI revolution. So the report talks optimistically about AI creating new opportunities, but it is less clear, from my understanding, it's less clear about what happens to the existing jobs. You know, it's also a discussion that normally put forward as well in our country, but, you know, people sometimes, you know, who are in this sector try to downplay the impact of that. Now, if, for example, if AI can diagnose diseases, what happened to health workers that were normally doing that? Or think of in terms of agriculture now, if an AI can provide farming advices, okay? Now, what happened to our agricultural extension officers? Would I still need actually the agricultural extension officers if I have, you know, AI actually providing farming advice? So I think, well, maybe the honest answer is we don't know yet. Now, that's for me. Okay. Maybe we don't know yet. But what we do know is that this transition won't be smooth. Definitely won't be smooth. And they won't be fair unless, you know, we plan for them. We need to plan for this. So, sometimes, probably, in most cases, like with the AI as well, we are just caught with our pants down. In most cases. So, are we prepared anyway? So, and this brings us to perhaps the most critical issue of all. Who making actually the rules? Who is actually making the rules? Now, the report highlights something significant. The African Union adopted a continental AI strategy in 2024. 40 African countries now have the data protection laws. We don't. So we are seeing policies, frameworks, emerging from Accra to Addis Ababa and other countries as well. So now, on paper, this look like a progress, but let's here is unpacking the day. So we always go a little bit deeper than the headlines. How many of these policies were written by Africans? How many of these policies were written by Africans who understand African realities versus, you know, consultants that are parachuting in from, from Geneva or from London, you know, much of this, because they are the one who understand this. And in most cases, these are people that are parachuting, you know, consultants that are brought in, you know, from elsewhere. So now, how many of these frameworks are actually enforceable, if I can use that word, enforceable versus just a feel-good document that look nice at the conference? And mostly, that's the case. Mostly, that's the case. Now, the report also mentioned something interesting. All right? But I want you to think about that. I want you to think about, do we have actually our own people, African people, who understand African realities, who are actually writing these policies? And from the history, from the story, from the report, there are many of these are people that are brought in as consultants to actually write for many of African countries. So, and how much of this can be implemented in Africa or addressing African realities? So now, the other thing is that the report also mentioned something very interesting. Only 16 out of 55 African Union members have ratified the Malabo Convention on Cybersecurity and Data Protection. 16 out of 55. That's actually less than 30%. So while we are talking about, big about AI governance, we can't even agree on a basic digital rights protections. You have about 16 out of 55. And here's a question. Here's a question that should keep policymakers awake at night. What happened? Now I'm thinking, okay, what happened when AI system make decision about citizens' lives? Okay. Who gets a loan? For example, earlier example that we give. Who gets a loan? Who gets health care, for example? And those systems are now controlled. Think of that now. Those systems are controlled by foreign companies under foreign laws. Because under foreign laws, yeah. So how would that translate in our realities? So... And this is not just about technical standards. This is about, we're talking about sovereignty. We talk about accountability. We talk about, well, in a sense, a democracy in the digital age. Yeah? How free are we? Are we free to do what we want with our own data set or? How free are we actually in this revolution? So, yeah. So where do we go? Where do we go from here? So the report offer recommendation, but let me give you the undistorted version of what really needs to happen from the report. Now, first we need honest conversation about infrastructure. You can't build an AI economy, for example, on electricity that works half the time, an internet that costs half your salary. You can't. So we need infrastructure that are reliable. So this means a really investment. Not just announcement and ribbon cutting kind of ceremonies, you know, but actually power plants, you know, fiber optic cables and affordable connectivity. So we need investment, major investment in infrastructure. So we need education that prepare people for AI world.
Titanium, the perfect fit between platinum and silver, complementing our existing benefit options. We always offer a comprehensive healthcare experience. NHP, the premier member-centric medical aid fund. Visit NHP today at nhp.com.na. NHP, we're about you.
All right, welcome back. So we're looking at what need to happen, the path forward, you know, how do we go from here? So one is that a real investment in infrastructure, you know, infrastructure in that really matter. And also second, we need education that prepare people for AI world. Not just sometimes you have those who actually study AI in a university, not just the lucky one who make it to university. This means updating curricula, you know, updating curricula from primary schools onwards, training teachers, you know, ensuring that AI literacy becomes a fundamental, you know. So, and thirdly, we need to get serious about regulation that actually works. not just copying European laws and American frameworks, but building governance systems that reflect the African values and protect African interests while still allowing innovation to actually flourish. Yeah. So, and fourthly, we need honest economic policies about the transition. AI will eliminate some jobs and maybe create some, you know, definitely it will eliminate some jobs and also create others as well. So we need social safety net, you know, retraining program maybe, an economic strategy that ensure the benefit don't just flow to already maybe people that are, you know, are in the system or that are privileged actually. And finally, we need to remember that technology is not neutral. It's not neutral. Every AI system embeds the values, biases, and priorities of its creator. You know, of its creator. So if we want AI that serves African interests, so we need African involved in every step of the process. So, yeah. So the choice we make in terms of AI, so definitely maybe in the next five years will shape our continent, you know, for the next 50 years. So we can be passive. We can be passive consumers of technology, build as well for others. We can be passive, you know, and just consume technology, build either in Europe, for others, for their own problem, we can consume that, or we can be active, create, and the creator of technology that solve our problems, reflect our values, and serves our own interests. So, but here is the thing, okay? This is not just up to the government, though. It's not just up to the government or tech companies or university researchers. So this is up to all of us. It's up to all of us. Every time we use a service or support a policy or make a choice about technology, we are voting for the kind of AI future we want. So the question is not whether AI is coming to Africa. It's already here. It's already here. The question is whether we will shape it or whether it will shape us. That's the question. Are we going to shape it or it's going to shape us? So I challenge you now, okay? I challenge you. Start asking questions. When your bank uses AI to assess your loan application, ask how it works. How does it work? When it refuses, how does it work? When your government talks about smart cities, you have heard this. So ask who controls the data. And when your children learn about technology in schools, ask whether they are learning to create or just to consume. So I'm challenging you now in terms of, you know, for you to ask questions. So definitely, the future of AI in Africa is not some distant possibility. It is being written right now in decision. The decisions are being made in boardrooms or in government offices, in university labs across this continent. So just make sure your voice is part of that conversation. Make sure your voice is part of that conversation. So that's why, well, I would open up my line now. What is your take? Do you want your voice be part of this conversation? What do you think about this report? I just highlight a few of the things that I felt more bring out of the report. And so, our telephone number is 08333-66091, 08333-66091. And if you want to actually, you know, go and read that report, it's a state of AI in Africa Report 2025. So, and you can go through that in more details. It's very interesting. It's a very interesting document to read. Quite interesting indeed. 0833366091. You may come through and have your thoughts and your contribution.
No matter where you are, if you have a mobile device, you can tune into Namibia's number one talk radio station by downloading the Eagle FM app on the Google Play Store or on the Apple App Store. Download the Eagle FM app to tune into live Eagle FM programming or to listen to podcasts or previous broadcasts. Eagle FM, Namibia's number one talk radio station.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, eh? And I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the I.
Get social with us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and LinkedIn. Our handle is Eagle FM Namibia.
Eagle FM, the I.
Yes, of course, you can follow us and you can follow us on Eagle FM and also the villages on our different social media platforms. And we are on X, we are on LinkedIn, we are on Instagram, we are on Facebook, on Telegram and WhatsApps. So do please engage us on this social media platform and make sure you leave a like or a comment. We always want to hear your feedback because there's so much that is actually posted on these social media platforms. Almost every 5 or 10 minutes. So there's always something that is actually new. Make sure that you're updated what is going on around, economic news, business news, report from financial institutions and other other political and agricultural all aspect, update. So make sure that you now and then, go to this social media platform to get yourself updated with what is going on around your community. So good morning and welcome to Eagle FM, and you're tuning into Unpacking the Day. We're looking at the state of AI in Africa, and we just looked at a report, a very interesting report, State of the AI in Africa Report 2025. So what is your, if you're listening, what is your take on this? Yeah, so when we look at what we talk about, it's really looking at, the great divide, because there are countries that are actually taking this revolution, AI revolution, much further than other countries as well. So we talk about country like, Nigeria, Ghana, Rwanda, South Africa. So, yeah, that are really, really, using AI to actually solve real problems, and also we looked at the issue of data. Who really benefits and who actually control the data, and much of our of AI system being used across Africa are still actually trained on Western data by Western companies and addressing actually Western problems. So, and they are also in their languages as well. So, but we also see some progress. We also see some project. There is a project called Masakane. There's a Pan-African initiative which are actually building a data set for local language, for languages like Swahili, Yoruba, and others. And this whole idea of digital sovereignty, it's about ensuring that when AI systems are making decisions about our lives, they understand our context and our cultures and our realities. There are also a report called Noodle License, basically a legal framework that ensure that when African communities contribute their data, languages, and knowledge to AI, so they remain control over how it's actually used. So there are some, you know, progress, and as we have to understand that this is about power. It's about power as well. Who controls the data controls the AI, and who controls the AI controls, you know, your future. So that's very important to understand when it comes to this. So, but the other thing is also that, you know, the irony is that, you know, as much as our researchers and communities are working hard to build, you know, this indigenous data set, where does the money come from? Who support these initiatives? Well, it's still also coming from outside. And who pays you, controls you. So we have an example of Microsoft and, you know, investing in Kenya. Let's see who is knocking on my door. Very good morning. Welcome to Unpacking the Day.
Yes, good morning.
Good morning.
Good. How did you come to realize that the AI will also be just another mechanism of controlling?
It is.
I was arguing you there with you the other days here.
Well, sometimes you just actually bring out what whoever
AI is just going to be exactly in the form of a monetary system.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. It's gonna be like that. Until we have our own AI of which we control the data and dictate everything. That is when we can say, okay, this is ours.
Yeah.
Because you remember the other days I said, you're going to be at a point whereby you are no longer need to send a child to schools.
Yeah.
And then they wait until your whole livelihood is actually depending on AI. And then they said, until you do this, then we can allow you to do that.
Yeah.
And you will have no choice. You have to do it. You have to submit.
Exactly. Just hold for a second. Eh? Just a quick commercial, then we can continue.
Yeah.
At ShopRite, we've got everything you need for baby and more at the lowest prices. Save big on baby essentials like Lovie's disposable nappies or pants, all variants from $139.99 per pack. And 500 grams Nestle Nestum regular wheat or maize baby cereal at just $54.99 each. Visit your nearest ShopRite and save big on deals for baby. Prices valid until 5 October 2025. Only at ShopRite. Lower prices you can trust always.
All right. Yes, we can go ahead. Yeah.
No, I was actually done. I was just impressed that you somehow realized that.
So I read the report. It's a very good report.
I didn't read it. I just looked at it. I just thought of it.
Yeah. No, I read the report, and then it's really, it's open your eyes, really. And, it's a very good, I would ask anybody actually to read it. Yeah.
But by using it really gives you an advantage. But at the end of the day, they will arrest you.
Yeah.
Exactly the same way they are actually arresting us with the system of money, whereby each and every time you have to go and borrow, but you have everything that can enable you to generate money. And the money that you go and borrow, you are not building infrastructures that generate money. You are building infrastructure that does not generate money.
Mm.
You see, that is the problem. You can't even say, look, we want to go and establish our food security or something like that. They'll say no. Yeah. You want food, you buy from us. You want food, we can give you food.
Yeah, yeah.
It's, so everything is actually is created to be the mechanisms of controls and dependencies when it comes to African countries.
Yeah, but
until
also,
we shake these shackles
yeah.
of dependency,
yeah.
like the Mali and the Burkina Faso, and then
yeah, no, definitely.
Yeah, yeah. Then we can go out of that system, obviously.
Yeah, the other thing is also the success stories. We have some success stories. I mean, we can look at Kenya's using AI powered weather stations. That can
you know,
that can
I don't trust anything happen in Kenya because
yeah.
I don't trust William Ruto. He is a Western stooge.
Yeah.
Obviously. Look, Ruto has sent Kenyan police to go and arrest and I don't know what how to put this one.
Mm.
You know, Haiti. Haiti is an oil company. I mean, country.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then there has been a distraction, and you know the Americans are now using him. He sent the police, and I think the task force of Kenya.
Yeah.
To go and it's just observe, you know. Just read that story and find out what he has done.
Mm.
That's why you see when he's among the Westerners, the Macron, them, they are shaking hands, they are giving themselves heart. When you see your leaders, among Western leaders, being treated like that,
yeah,
then you must know that you are completely sold. Just go and look for that story.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'll look it up, yeah.
Yeah. All right, thank you very much. No, Let me give the others a chance.
No, thanks for coming through, eh?
All right,
thank you. Okay, great. Mm. 0833-66-091. So you may come through. And these are some technical things. And sometimes people, you know, feel less, not intimidated, but just maybe feel like, you know, this is beyond. And remember, that's what I said at the very beginning that, you know, well, if you think this is something far away from your daily life, well, think again, because there are things that are just happening right in people's daily life, empowered by AI, So good morning, and what is your take? As we said, there are also success stories that we can look at, that we actually looked at. So, and what do you think? We can also, if we control that to actually address our interest and our needs, that is actually what, you know, even the previous caller is actually talking, the caller is actually saying. Yeah, so, but if it's controlled by foreign, it's you're funded by foreign, definitely, you know, it trained to think and to address their issues, not the African issues. So, but I really, honestly, if you're listening, I would encourage you to read the report. It's a very interesting report, and it really open up a lot. Now, the other thing that I was saying is I talked about jobs. The report, as I said, optimistically, it talk about AI creating new opportunities. And it's less clear about, you know, what happened now to the existing jobs. So, and I'm thinking, you know, that if, for example, you know, if you are, say, for example, you have actually, if you have if you have AI actually diagnosing disease, you know, then what happened to the people, the healthcare that's used to do that? So, and earlier on, I make even an example of AI. If they can give advice, provide advice on farming advice, so then what happened to our agricultural extension officials? So definitely, as we said, you know, it would create, you know, opportunities, but also definitely, you know, probably we will lose some jobs as well. Yeah, so those are things probably we need to discuss as the revolution taking place right away. All right, good morning. And what is your take? Yeah, what is actually your take? And the other issue is also the challenge of who set the rules, especially when you have now, you know, sometimes most of African countries have used actually consultants to set up to write the policies. You know, they are parachuting consultants from, you know, from Geneva, from London, or from somewhere elsewhere to come and set up this. So we want to have African policies written by African who understand African realities. So versus consultants that are actually parachuted in from other continents. So yeah. So those are some of the issues. So what is your take? What is your take? And there has been some recommendation as well that we need to invest in infrastructure. We need to invest in education. It's not just about those who go to university and study, but so updating our curriculum, you know, from primary schools, you know, onwards, and training teachers. So, and also the regulations, put up actually the regulation that works, that can be enforced, not just a nice document that can produce for conferences. So, and yeah. All right. So what is your take? 0833-66-091. 0833-66-091.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, eh? And I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the I.
So our time, welcome back to Unpacking the Day here on Eagle FM, your go-to for digging deep into the issues that matter to us here in Namibia. And I'm your host, Michael Chauvelli, coming to you live from the Ontangwa studio. Now, let's move on. So, but you're most welcome to come through and engage me on the AI revolution in Africa. So you can come through. So our time is about 10 minutes past the hour of 9. We still have plenty of time to get into that. So, but let's move on in something that I always wanted to talk about since Friday last week, you know. So now, have you ever had this feeling where you feel it is just harder? You know, it is just harder to get a fair deal, you know, to start a new business, or even just to get a good price of something. Have you ever felt that? Well, Now, a recent report is giving us some concrete numbers. Eh? It's giving us some concrete numbers and harsh realities behind that kind of feeling, you know? And it's from yesterday's, newspaper. It was Friday's newspaper that was actually entitled Anti-Competitive Namibian Economy. That was actually a story by Nino Menma Valley Hangala. So the anti-competitive Namibian economy. So it's a very interesting one. Okay. So what is exactly does anti-competitive mean here? You know, let me give you a picture. Imagine you have a race. It might not come out right, but I'm just thinking it in my head. Imagine you have a race, okay? A fair race has a clear rules. Always a fair race have a clear rules. Everyone start at the same line, you know, and the strongest, the fastest, the cleverest runs and win, all right? So that's how it works. Now, but what if, you know, what if some runners get a head start, you know? They're not starting where others are starting. They get a head start. So what if some are given special shoes, maybe? They are given maybe a special shoes that make them run a bit faster than others. Or what if some are secretly, you know, told where the finish line really is? You know? So now, and that, my friends, that, my dear listener, is what happening in many parts of our economy, you know, according to this report. All right? So it's not according to me, according to this report. Now, the core of the problem identified by the competition impact assessment done for our competition watchdog is that a shocking 97% of people surveyed and laws looked at point to anti-competitive behaviors across many different sectors in Namibia. You know, 79% of people who have been surveyed, and there were also laws that has been looked at, 160 laws have been looked at, pointed to anti-competitive behavior across many different sectors in Namibia. Now, we're going to break that down. This is not just a few isolated incidents. So we're not talking about a few isolated stuff. We're talking about a widespread issue. Now, this assessment carried out by a group called Inceptus Holding. Okay, you probably know the organization. Inceptus Holding took a deep dive into 160 different laws. Okay, 106 different laws, policies and regulations. So there has been people surveyed, but also looking at 160 different laws, policies and regulations. What was their goal? Their goal was to see if these rules are actually helping Namibia grow and compete fair. We're talking about now business-wise in Namibia. So their goal was now to see if these rules, are this rule really encouraging, are helping Namibian grow and compete fair, or if they are creating, also looking at it, if they are creating all sorts of roadblocks, okay? So, or maybe these rules are the one that are actually creating all sorts of roadblock. So that was the goal. And the finding? The finding are, frankly, quite concerning, actually. So they are quite concerning, the finding. So the report basically say that our regulatory architecture, now, when you're talking about our regulatory architecture, that is the whole system of rules and laws that govern how business operate, is fundamentally skewed. It's fundamentally skewed. It is creating what they say, a systemic market distortion. Systemic market distortion. Now, think of it like a, how would I give you? Like a, Think, Mike. Like a wobbly table, you know, a table that unbalanced. No matter how you try to balance things on it, it's always going to be unstable. And this instability is holding us back. Basically, that's it. This instability is holding us back. So what are these anti-competitive behavior that 79% of people are seeing? So what are those anti-competitive behavior? And the report highlights a few big culprits. Huh? They highlight actually a few big culprits. So the most common one seen by 28% of those surveyed, it's price fixing. Now, price fixing. So now, this is like a group of, I'm just giving an example. This is like a group of business getting together behind closed doors and agreeing. Okay, you guys, you know what? Well, we will all charge $10 for this item, right? No one goes below that, all right? Is that, do I agree on that? Yeah, definitely. Oh, okay, good. So, now what does that? That leaves now consumers with no choice. No choice, no chance to find a better price. So because that's the price fixing, that's a direct hit to our wallet as consumers. So, and 28 of those surveyed said one of the most common one is actually price fixing. I just given an example, you know, so it might work, might not. Yeah. So now following closely, I just wanted to give you a bigger picture of what it means. Now following closely behind is a 20% is collusion. Now this is where a business secretly work together to gain an unfair advantage. So think of it as a secret handshake that keep others out. Okay. So, and a specific type of collusive tendering, which is like rigging bids for government contracts or big projects. So it's also the third most common problem. You know, collusive tendering. So this means when we talk about that, this means that taxpayers might not be getting the best value of their money because the process isn't truly competitive. You know? So when it comes now to that collusive, you know, tendering, it's like rigging bids for government contracts or maybe other big, not only government contract, but big projects. So, yeah. And as I said, we don't get, you know, the best value of our money because the process is not truly competitive. So the report also mentioned the predatory pricing, where this is where now like a big company might temporarily, they slash prices so low, you know, often below what it costs them to produce, you know, just to drive smaller competitors out of business. So, because of course someone goes to where the low prices is. And once the competition is gone, they can then hike prices right back up, often higher than before. So that's also one thing that the report anti-competitive behaviors that the report is talking about, you know, that predatory pricing. So that's one of them. And bid rigging is another nasty practice mentioned. Also, bid rigging is also another nasty practice that is also mentioned. Now, where are we where are we feeling this effect the most? Okay, so there is also that question: where are we feeling this effect the most? Let's get to the caller and find out what he has to say.
Very good morning to you. Welcome to Impact of the Day.
We lost that. Please do come back. Do come back. So now, where are we feeling this effect the most?
Good afternoon. Welcome to Unpacking the Day.
Yes, good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
Good.
Yeah.
Data or on the second topic?
Which one? Anyone? You can go. You can speak to.
Yeah.
You come earlier today. Yeah. So you have enough.
Yeah. Okay. Let's talk about the data. The AI.
Yeah.
Yeah. The AI is benefiting everybody.
Yeah. No, it does.
Yeah, it's only that maybe in Africa we're liking to name things and confusing each other.
Yeah.
So AI it has nothing to do with geopolitics.
Yeah.
It's on our own. It's the same with the Windows when it was introduced to using the info, to capture the information, which is So you store it yourself in your device. You have it forever. So you upload it when you want to share with somebody. So that is all about. So it's the same with AI now here.
Yeah.
In Africa, if you look at it, for example, Nigeria, yes, there is a lot of young people that are participating to collecting data.
Yeah.
For them to upload it and the AI on listen of the developers and listen of the manager of the AI, like Sam Altman, he said AI is not yet threatened to the human. Because he said if you go to hospital and you're diagnosed by the device and they're starting advising you, he said it's better for me to go to the physical doctors that they can see. Yeah. You see now, he's the one who managing, but even in the developers like, the program developers like,
but you Alexander know, for now, then, the our confidence, you don't have much confidence in the AI now, but once it's become norm, that becomes you won't think twice to go to a person while you can actually just do this with the machine.
With the device, yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah, but the problem here, as I said, is young people who are not participate in it. Look at what you are saying when it comes to languages. There are no young people that is willing to come up with to recognizing their languages.
Yeah.
And put it on those programs.
Yeah.
To upload it, yeah. Like Nigerians.
And in Kenya and all that. Yeah.
The Igbo, what?
Igbo, Yoruba.
There's one language. Even that he, the English, the Penguin English for Nigeria. This is on the English dictionary now.
Yeah,
some of those words in there. It's because of somebody who helped them to collect those data and uploaded it into the University of Oxford.
Which is also a business, isn't it?
Yeah. Yes, it's a business. It's what I'm saying. Mm. The young people of Namibia for this program of Youth Development Fund, they were supposed to put in one of that.
Yeah.
Because it can create jobs if you are now operating in all 14 regions with your workers that are collecting data to upload it with you, it will help you.
Yeah.
It will make money out of that. But for that now they are saying, we have, you are complaining of English language, but while you are not doing anything with. But if you look at in South Africa, for example, there is Zulu and other languages.
There is Zulu. I think Xhosa is also there. If I'm not mistaken. Yeah, the Zulu, the Xhosa.
Yeah, so So those are the things that I'm saying. It's not yet threat. Listen to the developers. The developers, they are just putting up those forums where you can uploading what you want. Yeah. And all of that.
But the concerns are also like this. There's also a concern that if I'm not control, let's say for example, I'm not in control of my own data, you know, it's a foreign company that's actually in control of my data. That's not sovereignty.
No, but listen to this.
Yeah.
If you look at what in the Bitcoins, the Bitcoin and the cryptocurrency, for example.
Yeah.
The most important that you have is the key that are generated by that program.
Yeah.
Once you have it, it means you are controlled because nobody breaking that. It's the same with Apple devices.
Mm.
So once you have that Apple devices, the iCloud, that thing, that password, nobody will access into that information.
Yeah.
They will be just be there forever. So I don't think for us now, because this data is needing more protection.
Yeah.
This data center. That's why if you look at the one that is for the bank, like in Switzerland, where those Tech Haven Bank, they are under the ground. They are on the mountain where they are very well protected.
Yeah.
So if we are now exposing ourselves to say, okay, let me put my data center in Dramatic, or let me put my... what if the wildfire comes there?
Yeah.
Mm. So look at how it's destroying the ocean now. It's the same thing that you need, those people who are serious on that, what you need is the power of your money that you are paying that. Because you are assured that if something happened to my data, you will pay for it.
Yeah.
And that is what is happening to America there. If you look at those Facebook are facing the justice every time because of leaking the data.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't think for you to say, we need to control ourselves. Yes, we have to mention that. We have to comply with what is the data mean. Because I don't want him to come and operating in Namibia as a financial render. And at the end of the day, MTC is the one who are controlling my
yeah.
So what if you're leaking to some of those criminals? Because they are everywhere.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. And that's why they say, if you look at in the cryptocurrency, it's a lot, there is a lot of criminals than the reality.
Mm.
So those are not the thing to say, we need to controlling ourselves. How do you controlling yourself? You are not participating in it. If you are not sending people to be a developer, if you are not sending people to learning about how to create, to generating those security code.
Mm.
So at the end of the day, it's not ours.
Yeah.
That's why I'm saying, up to today, those Windows, those operating systems, they are controlled by those developers. Microsoft, Apple,
So you're saying is that you're actually still your data still actually still also built on other existing softwares, isn't it? Microsoft or whatever. So which you still don't own. Yeah.
Yes, because look at what is this Huawei operating system.
Yeah.
It's still failing to control the world.
Mm.
Because some of us, we don't want, as most of the Africans, they don't want the Western stuff.
Yeah.
But they have nowhere to go.
Yeah.
If you go to China, you will not communicate with a person in Australia.
Yeah.
If you are using Huawei operating system. It's because the Android that is transformed in those things to go to Microsoft, it will not allow it.
Yeah.
So you have to start from the scratch. That is where the problem is for the young people, for the future of this Africa.
Yeah.
If they are not participating in it, it will not help anything.
Yeah.
It will be just complain, be a street, or how do you call it, complain, which is none of benefit. So you have Africa or country like Namibia, as I said, they went there to say, we want the AI to be visible.
Mm.
But you are not funded your young people, or you are not motivating your young people to be a part of that AI.
Yeah.
Whether by controlling it, not by developing it, but by controlling it.
Yeah.
So those are the things, as I said, for you to have a domain that you address, it's you are choosing. It's when you are a part of that.
Mm.
Yeah, to say, okay, I need my data to control it by who send that. As I said yesterday or the after yesterday, that by 2035, those AI data center will taking up 30% of the electricity.
Yeah.
You see, they are already starting building up in those warehouses. But here in Africa, we are not ready.
Mm-hmm.
Even like a small one that can control it, because as we have only 3-4 companies that are operating in Namibia, as a Namibian company, that they need also a data center, they need also somebody to control their data. But if you are not doing that, we have a mountain, we have everything, but where are we going to get money?
Yeah.
That is another, because the government is not ready to funding something that is going to benefit the people in 2035.
Exactly. And
yeah, so those are the type of
you still actually have to have investors coming from outside, actually, and they have some control over yeah. the material. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's just like rich people. Mm. They don't take up chances of saying, let me sending my kids to school so that he can come and managing my company. No. Yeah. They're taking who is ready.
Yeah.
I need any management that is ready. But if you are starting to say, you know, I have to wait in my child so that I can train somebody, you will lose. That time, your shop is already corrupted. That's why you see we don't have shops for those that who are in the list of Namibians that they were doing business in Namibia.
Yeah.
It's because of that, because of ignore the truth. The future, if you ignore the future, you will never be rich there.
Yeah.
So I think that is enough for now.
Okay.
But let us, those young people, must be understanding that the job creation is on the AI.
It is on the AI.
And so only to collecting data. If you are collecting data, you are way to go.
Mm.
But if you are not uploading those things that we are saying we need it, especially that thing, the one we are saying, we need somebody who can collect us and look at how many graduating in the country,
yeah,
and upload it into visible in the world. So they need to collect those. We need somebody who can collect that and sell it into those companies.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. You are making millions of dollars because what you need here is their certificate. And the good thing of the certificate is that they did it because it's not Namibian certificate.
Yeah.
It's a Cambridge certificate, which if you uploaded, they were easily to detect that this one is a fake, this one is original.
Yeah.
It's because their software is in there to do that. And their AI is where to do that.
Mm.
So what you need is just to collect, putting it in. But now, as I said, there is also criminal involved.
Of course.
You might end up uploading Michael's the grade 12 certificate and then using my John. You see now?
Definitely.
Yeah. So we cannot approve everybody into collecting data that we know it will be may end up in the hands of the criminal, as I said before. So we need also, government need also to look at that, who is going to be allowed. And if something leaking, who are we going to arrest?
To hold accountable.
To hold accountable. Mm. So those are the type of things that is needed also to be discussed by the cabinet. And allow the young people to do that, and for them to do that, they have to come up with their own company.
Yeah, but you mentioned when you mentioned cabinet, but I'm also thinking that, you know, we do our cabinet member, for example, or lawmakers, at level where they understand this to actually come up with proper laws, you know?
No, they don't really. Yeah, what we need. On something coming the cabinet day.
Yeah.
It's already coming to the office of the president. And the office of the president is the one that is heavy to appointing who. Because remember, there is like a committee of the advising the president.
The president, yeah.
About what we do about our economy, how is the economy grow and all of those things. So, when it comes to cabinet and you see that this is not a level of the cabinet, they go to president's desk, and then president is invited to those type of people that they can advise him. Because some of these advisors, they are not Namibian.
Yeah.
So they are all over the world. They, choosing who to use on that. Mm. So at the end of the day, we're getting the right people. Not only to say the cabinet will do that, but the cabinet, yes. As I said, some of these people, I don't know whether they really understand, because when I listen to the UNGA President's speech, it was something that I said, it's not on the level of the world here.
Yeah.
So maybe the advice of the person is they will not really see that they are giving job away. Because if you have investors in Namibia and you go to Botswana to looking for investors, what did the Namibian say?
Mm.
They will say, you didn't tell me that this is what you want.
Yeah.
So at the end of the day, those are the things. Yeah. But the cabinet is there, just there to open President's eyes that this is what in the nation talking about or the nation want.
Yeah.
So and then him looking here, looking for the right people that they can advise him here until the public knows that, oh, this is what in the government want.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right.
All right.
Great, man. Thanks for coming, Tria. Yeah, today you come a little bit earlier, so that was good.
Yeah.
Okay, great.
08-333-66-091. 08-333-66-091. You can come through on any of the topic that we have covered so far. Some are just trying or playing hide and seek. 08-333-66-091.
Eagle FM, welcome to Unpacking the Day.
Yes, good morning, Mr. Shaveri. How are you?
I'm fine, man. Yourself, how is Hangabona?
Fine, thank you. I don't know what happened to my app, my app.
It's not playing?
No, it's not playing. It's trying to refresh and what.
Just delete it and then upload a new one. Yeah.
Well, I delete it and I upload the new one.
Yeah, I think I experienced the same thing yesterday and then.
I think I heard about it.
Yeah.
So, how are you doing?
No, we're doing fine, and yourself?
Yeah, I didn't follow even, so maybe I could only. What is the thought of the day today, actually?
The thought of the day?
Today.
Okay, since you were not listening, I'm going to give you that. Let me quickly just see if I can find it somewhere quickly.
It is not too long, perhaps.
It's not too long. I can just do that for you quickly. You're one of our regular customers. We always do that.
Yeah, thank you very much.
Not customers, but regular listeners. So we can always do favors to our regular listeners. Okay. Now, the thought for the day is a broken trust is like a shattered pot. It can be mended, but the cracks will always show. Now, the proverb means that once trust is broken, even if efforts are made to repair them. The shattered pot, the trust, yeah. A broken trust is like a shattered pot. It can be mended, but the cracks will always show. Now, the proverb means that once the trust is broken, even if efforts are made to repair the relationship, the damage leaves the lasting marks. So, like a shattered pot that can be glued back together but still shows visible cracks, broken trust can be restored to some extent, but the sense of the betrayal or hurt remain evident. So the Proverbs emphasize the fragile nature of trust and how difficult it is fully erase the impact of betrayal or dishonesty in a relationship. Yeah, that was
I think it's fine. It's good enough for me to lumber about them.
Yeah.
It's true that, when the pot is broken, you know, obviously this time around, unless maybe there's something really blue or gum that can really, but the cracks will always be there.
Yeah, definitely.
So this thing of this reputation, so to say, if you did things is really damaged.
Yeah.
Maybe through our attitude, our behaviors, and especially when it comes to leadership.
Mm.
Even management. Oh, individual people, obviously.
Yeah.
So there is this thing, it's very, very difficult. to, because trust is earned.
Yeah.
And by our doing, you know, how we inspire others and lead others and things, sometimes we might lead people to hell.
Mm.
And, you know, that damage. So especially, it's also very important for our ethical conduct to make sure that we conduct ourselves so that we sustain and people really have trust in what we are doing in our dealings. So it's very correct, actually. So because the last time when you were in conclusion, when you were talking about perseverance or persistence, something like that, last week or two. So these are some of the things that really we need to make sure that sometimes we damage our character just by, you know, issues of arrogation, issues of, you know, gossip and things like that.
Yeah.
And then the person now says, ah, but in terms of leadership at this level where you are talking about, it's very important that we exercise ourselves to, you know, put us, I wanted to quote that scripture. To exercise ourselves, the way our actions in an ethical manner so that we don't damage the reputation of ourselves or the country even.
Yeah.
So thank you very much, Mike. I think let me do that.
Okay.
What you have
just delete it and then upload it again so it will work. All right.
Thank you very much, brother.
Okay, great. Yeah.
All right. Very good morning and welcome back. And, this is Unpacking the Day. So, yeah, we were busy looking at, first of all, we look at the AI revolution in Africa. There's so many things we talked about. So a couple of people comes through and have their say. And then we're looking at the competition. What is the anti-competitive Namibia economy? Looking at, there was a survey done by a competition by Inceptus, actually, Inceptus Holding, about competition impact assessment done for our competition watchdog. So, and he surveyed, the survey says 79% of people surveyed and law looked at point to anti-competitive behaviors. So, and so those behaviors, so basically the report says that our regulatory, you know, architecture, so that is the whole system of rules and laws that govern how business operate, you know, is fundamentally skewed. It's fundamentally skewed and it is creating a systemic market distortions. Now, so those anti-competitive behavior, there are some of those. Price fixing, talked about price fixing. So the other is collusion, where business secretly work together to gain an unfair disadvantage or advantage, not disadvantage. And then you have also collusive tendering, rigging bids of government contract or big project. And then you have the predatory pricing. That's one area also that we looked at, which actually then what does this mean is that bigger companies temporarily slashes, you know, prices so low, often below what cost them actually to produce. And then just when now the smaller competitors are out of business, so they bring up again, they hike the price right back up and sometimes even higher than what it before. So they also bid rigging. That's also something that was mentioned in the report. So we were now at the point where I was discussing where we feeling this effect the most. And consumer survey highlighted the telecommunications, finance, and energy sectors as the major, those are the major hotspots. So these are essential services. And these are essential services we all rely on daily. So in these areas, people are experiencing significant concern about monopolistic practices. So meaning one or a few dominant companies control the market, and serious a barrier to entry that make it incredibly tough for new or innovative business to even get their foot in the door. So you have some, you know, concerning really about monopolistic practices that become a barrier to entry to some of those innovative businesses that want to get in the same business. And this makes sense in a way that if it's so hard for new players to enter the market, so the existing big dogs then have less pressure to innovate. They have less pressure to innovate, to offer better services because there are no competition, and to lower their prices. So, and who suffers? Who suffers? You guess it right. You know, it's us, the consumers. You know? So that actually makes a lot of sense. So now the report also throw a harsh light on our trade policies. Okay? A significant 43% of consumers believe our current trade policy don't actually promote fair competition. 43% of consumers believe our current trade policies don't actually promote fair competition. That is nearly half of us feeling that the rules of the games are rigged against fairness. So what even more telling is that 75% of people surveyed feel that existing policies act as a hindrance for the new businesses. So they actually seeing that the policies are actually the hindrances. The existing policies are the hindrances of the new business. So, and imagine you have a brilliant idea, a product or service that could really benefit Namibia, but the existing regulations and privileges make it almost impossible to even start. This is a huge drain on our nation potential. So, and on, that's one area that people feel that, you know, it's regulations. And on a slightly brighter note, the 57% believe that policies could promote competition if they were implemented effectively. So that's a glimmer of hope. So it suggests the problem might not be entirely with the intent of the laws, but perhaps with how they are being managed or enforced. So it is not the intention of the law, but it is within the implementation of that law, how that law is being managed or how that law is being enforced. So now let's talk about a really sensitive issue. I'll call it insensitive. These are state enterprises. The assessment found that in at least 15 laws, which is actually very important to note, in at least 15 laws, state-owned companies enjoy special privileges. Okay? The state-owned enterprises, companies, enjoys some special privileges. Maybe because, of course, they are state-owned companies. So why shouldn't? And these are just... So these are now like minor perks, you know. We are talking about things like automatic license, you know, tax exemptions, guarantee funding, you know. So that's what the report highlights. So now, on the look of things, you know, this might seem like supporting national development, isn't it? So, but when you look at it from a competition perspective, it's like giving, okay, let's have team state enterprises and team private sector. It's like It's like you're giving Team State Enterprise a full tank of fuel and souped up engine, and while Team Private Sector is running on a fumes and standard model, you know? So this creates an inherent unfair playing field, definitely, you know? So, and furthermore, the report points to over 20 laws that grant discretionary executive power. So what this means is that certain individuals or body have a lot of power, you know, to make decision in the economy. But the criteria for these decisions are often vague. And which actually then, this opened the door now to things like favors, favoritisms, and regulatory uncertainty. So think about it in this way. So if the rules are unclear and decision can be made based on who you know, when you make decision based on who you know, how can now any business, doesn't matter whether new or old, plan for the future with confidence. So it breeds a climate of unpredictability. So because you never know, because it depends who you know. So, and then there is issue of regulatory capture, which the report actually flags in over 18 laws. Now, this is a serious concern. It essentially means that the very bodies that meant to regulate industries are in some way, you know, being influenced and controlled by the industries they are supposed to be seeing, overseeing, you know. So as I said, that's very concerning. So the report mentioned mechanism that allow for confidentiality and revenue retention by the regulators. Now, this, the researcher argues now, create a perversive incentives. Why? Because it means that regulators might be incentivized to overregulate or to keep things opaque rather than actually promoting transparency and efficiency. So the report even cites example like BIPA, the Business and Intellectual Property Authority, and CREN, the Communication Regulatory Authority of Namibia. So the BIPA and CREN fee retention and levy powers. So now this raises the question, are these bodies acting in the public interest or in their own institutional interest, and potentially at the expenses of their competition? I mean, at the expenses of fair competition. So that's some of those anti-competitive behavior or practice that this survey has highlighted. So make sure if you go to and I'm asking to subscribe. This is a story that is actually in the Villager, the edition, Friday edition of the Villager. Very interesting story. It's give you that picture, like some of those anti-competitive behavior that we see. And it's also looking at what is the way forward. What is the way forward? The researchers are recommending systematic approach to fixing these market distortion. You're talking about market distortion. So now this includes now better coordination between regulators, actively eliminating barrier for business, and implementing genuine competitive neutrality measures. So And this report, it's more like what is that? More like a wake-up call. It's telling us that the structures in place are not fostering a fair and a vibrant economy. So that's what it says. It's telling us that it's not fostering a fair and a vibrant economy. So we are seeing sign of price fixing, collusion, and unfair advantages for some players. So this is not just an abstract economic issue. It is impact. It impacts the prices we pay. It impacts the choices we have and also the opportunities available for entrepreneurs and job creation as well. So when 79% of people and laws point to a problem, we can't afford to ignore it. So we need to ask ourselves.
Good FM, welcome to Unpacking the Day.
Yes, that's Mike. How are you?
I'm fine, and yourself? You have 3 minutes. You came late
today. Yeah, I'm late today, man. Jesus.
Yeah.
Late at the school.
Oh, I thought them were not smart.
Yeah, that more what I want more so. Exactly. Okay. Mm. Yeah, one thing I think I need to start is I is having an advantage, yeah, and disadvantage also.
Yeah.
Because if you look, let me say now, when it comes to our country, in our where we find ourselves, sometimes we have been given the wrong medicine. Just imagine now, we are having iron in front of you.
Yeah.
So you are doing your body, you tell even what kind of medication you need to take.
Yeah.
Because you just go to the pharmacy instead of going to the people who are going to give you wrong medicine.
Yeah.
Okay, when it comes to even school, instead of you to walk a long way to submit your assignment and so on, these are easy to do it, and you can just submit the way it is. And it's even also giving you what a correct information.
But it also it also make us stupid, isn't it?
Not to think anymore.
Sometimes I can't even remember numbers because I know I can always check it out. You know?
That is the thing.
So, really, AI will make people stupid. Absolutely stupid.
I'm telling you. And it's what is happening.
Yeah. Even Google now, anything, you don't think anymore. You just
quickly look at it. I'm telling you, instead of like, okay, let me ask.
Yeah.
Then you just go to ChatGPT or Gemini or whatever.
Exactly, you know.
It will help you out.
It's not where you feel. I feel challenged about this. Let me go and study.
Let me go and
learn about it so that I can articulate it myself. So why would I do that? Why I can just go and I read it somewhere?
Exactly. it's kind of time consuming also. Yeah, somehow it's helping, but it will make us
go. It does. I mean, it does. But it's also, I was even saying, look, why would I need an agricultural extension officer?
Yeah, if I can do it myself.
When AI can tell me this is the advice, you know, that you need. So we're going to lose jobs. Definitely. It's going to create jobs, but it's going to lose some people, sectors.
It will put a lot of us in the streets. Exactly. And this is a thing also which I'm saying. Because now look, people are having a personal secretary.
Yeah.
Do you think with AI you are going to need a person? No, not at all.
No, I mean now.
And I can do it, everything for you.
You, if you want, you can be in a meeting and you record everything. Yeah. It can
everything
type, while people are talking. Can actually you have an app that can type everything that people are talking about?
You know? I'm telling you.
Yeah. Why would I need a secretary now who can take
notes? I have a problem. Okay, quickly, man. When it comes to this. Depend what we are talking about business with
this anti-competitive
how many policies?
160. They look
that's
at
those. Major.
Yeah.
That and this is how it is. Our economy is not growing because there's no new players.
Yeah.
Unless somebody is coming in with a lot of money outside, those who so-called what foreign investors.
Yeah.
But we need to grow our own. That's the reality. And when we are not growing your own, that economy is not yours, my friend.
Exactly.
No matter we can say now what, You know that even our government now is going to withdraw money in the name of bonds.
Yeah.
Guess who is coming on the 8th? Foreigners, foreign bank and foreign institutions which are having money.
Mm.
You are going to say something about them, will you know that you are owing them money?
Yeah.
They are the one having power to tell you what to do.
Definitely.
That's the problem, as I'm telling you. And the problem is us to create a new friendly environment for a new player, for especially SMEs. We too much with paperwork, man.
Yeah.
When it comes to paperwork, my friend, you already done with your money, which you are trying to invest in your business.
But the thing is this is actually what we were talking about with other people, with AI as well, is that when these institutions, they who are their target? You are not their target, you know.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Always.
They are not here. They are here to get your money, but you are not
money.
But you are not their target.
You are not
target,
dependent on anything. Nothing.
Of
yeah, when they come
this,
in, it was like a, when they come in, it's like a, they are coming to give you a job and what. But
of
this
course.
Job, remember, the money is always coming. They say calling.
Mm.
You have to go back to them.
Yeah, no, you're only getting 20% of the total, you know, of the total benefits of that project or whatever of that resources. You know, you're only getting 20%. The 80% goes to them.
Goes to them, yeah.
Exactly.
And now you're telling you, no, we are creating employment for Namibians. Ah, no.
Yeah.
That's not the way we're supposed to build the welfare. Thank you.
Yeah. All right, man.
Yeah, anyway, shop make. Yeah.
Thanks for
I don't want this.
Great man.
Yeah.
Ladies and gentlemen and others, that brings us to the end of Unpacking the Day today, this episode of Unpacking the Day. Let's do that tomorrow again, focusing on a different topics that will be, you know, we'll be unpacking tomorrow. So, well, let me say my goodbyes and hand you over to a capable individual who is coming up now. And I'm crossing now you back to Windhoek, to France, to take you on Kutha Mosha. Make sure that you take something out of what is coming up and enjoy all our programs that are coming throughout the day today. So for me, Michael Shaveri, I wish you all the best and enjoy your day. So goodbye for now.